We're about to come to the Lord's table. By the way, just so you know, Dane and I were mumbling up here together. Thank y'all for these wonderful gifts. I can't wait to dive into this and see, because there's always somebody's trying to get me with one of these things. I can't wait to get to that. But we're taking bets on how long it'll take Rick and Regina to kill their plant. Oh, it's still alive. Do y'all believe that? Can y'all trust that? I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm just sorry. Regina had to be away today. She couldn't be here, so she could be jerked around in the name of Jesus. That's right. There's always next Sunday. Just for Regina. That's right. If you don't feel blessed here, think about what it's going to be like with Him forever. Around the throne, enjoying the presence of the Lord, enjoying each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. But giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. He begins a little teaching here, Paul does, to the church at Corinth about coming to the Lord's table, communion, the Lord's Supper. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions that exist among you. And in part, I believe it. So we can say today, as we come together for communion, as we come to the table, it's not for division, it's for unity. He's bringing us back. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. Now, how about that coming to the table to make a mockery of this worship experience, this communion with the Lord? What? Do you not have houses in which you can eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God? He said, well, what is he? He's talking about, he should be talking about Christ there. Are you despising Christ? Well, you're despising his bride. You're despising his body, his physical body on the face of the earth. That's who we are. And that's who we're to reflect. And you shame those who have nothing. You see, for when we come to the communion table, we must come in unity. We must come where the ground is level, because the ground is level around the cross, isn't it? There are no uppers and lowers. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, Paul wasn't there to get that teaching. What he just said, he just spoke a miracle that had happened in his life. You know, after Paul became a Christian, there was a time he was not a very popular guy on the one side, but very popular on the other. People wanted to kill him. Different groups wanted to kill him, wanted to get rid. Well, he went into a time of discipleship where it was just he and the Lord. And he's speaking here of that time where miraculously the Lord revealed, gave him a view of all the stuff, all that had happened. And in this regard, what had happened even when Jesus instituted his supper. The night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They're enjoying that Passover meal. They're coming there together. Something the Jews have been doing for centuries and centuries, acted out over the centuries. They've been looking forward to the coming of this one, the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who was going to come and take away the sins of the world, who would die in our place. He said, you do this in remembrance of me. I want you to see this as we cast the rest of it here, that this is a call for us to remember what he has done. Do you remember today what he has done for you? In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, it was the third cup, it was the cup of redemption. Fourth cup's going to be in the millennial kingdom when he comes and he fulfills all of this. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, calling on us to remember. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what has he done right here? He has cast it in the past, showing what has happened. He is reminding them that Jesus is coming again. He came the first time, he's coming again, and he's speaking to them in the present. And that's how he's speaking to us right now. He's speaking to you and me where we are. Right now, I'm asking the Lord, right now, that he'll remove every distraction from you right now. You'll not be sidetracked even by the messenger here, but by his message to you as we come to this table together. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. A man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. For if we had judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord, so we will not be condemned along with the world. What's he saying there? He's saying that God means business. This is serious business. We can look at it smugly, or we can open ourselves and receive what the Lord wants to speak to us. I believe in that passage that he's not just talking about the actual event of communion, of the Lord's Supper, of coming to. I believe he's talking larger even about their lives as they come with their hearts open before the Lord. What has been going on in your life? And you see, that's what communion calls on us to do. It calls on us to remember. It calls on us to look at our lives. It calls on us to take inventory. It calls on us to take a good look, like it says in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. It calls on us to remember our salvation experience and remember that it is only through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus that we even have this salvation. It is only through him. It is absolutely nothing that you do for yourself. Nothing. Not one micro inch of that gap between God and man was covered by you. You can't save yourself. And any mixture of theology that you have or interpretation that ever says that your good works, your getting it right, makes you right in the sight of God is an abomination to this supper. Because you see what this supper says, every time we come to the table, it is to focus our attention upon Him. The author and finisher of our faith. Christ alone, our salvation. Now, through faith, we come in agreement with Him and we call on Him in salvation. We call on Him. We ask Him to come into our lives. I don't know where you are spiritually today. I don't know where you are in connection with Him. I'm not asking today if you have religion. I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you're in good standing somewhere. I'm not asking you about your list of good works. I'm not asking you any of those questions. My question is, do you have Jesus in your life? Have you received Him by faith? That's not something you work for. In fact, Ephesians says, even that, the capacity to trust Him, is a gift from God. Because He set the thing up. Even the ability to be able to do that is a gift from God. You see, it's all about His grace. It's all about His love. It's all about His mercy. It's nothing from me. It's nothing from you. Now, the good works follow us. But even living the life out is a walk of faith. Now he's saying here, he makes these statements about what's happened to people. And what's happened to people is they've allowed other stuff to get in between them and their commitment. And what's the teaching here? The teaching here is God doesn't like that. When you receive Jesus and you say, Jesus is Lord of my life, was He expecting you to live out that Jesus is Lord of your life and trust in Him? And it's a walk of faith every day. But what happens when we get sidetracked? What does He do? He tries to get our attention. He'll use circumstances in our lives. He'll use these things to draw us back. Because He wants us to be walking in His love. Because He wouldn't be a very good Lord, a very good Father, if we were walking down a path away from Him and He said, oh, that's okay. How about you and your children? What happens when, as adults, your children are doing something that they shouldn't be doing? What do you try to do? You do everything in your power to move them away from that. You see them about to run, a small child about to run out into traffic, what do? Oh man, whatever you got to do, you drop everything right there and you go to save them. You see, that's not only God's position with us before we're a Christian, before we make that decision for Jesus, that is His position with us every day of our lives. Because He loves us. He loves us. His love is not based on what you do. His love is unconditional. Paul says, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, so you will not come together for judgment. You see, we make a mockery of the table if we don't ask the Lord to examine our hearts. Does that make sense? It becomes a mockery because then we're just going through religious mumbo jumbo. Religious chitter chatter. Religious trivia that has nothing to do with our relationship with Him. Coming to the Lord's table is all about relationship. Now, before we come to the table, we'll give you an opportunity. Gary, if you'll come on, we'll have some quiet music. We're not going to sing. We're going to pray. And we're going to take seriously that phrase, let a man, woman, child, as I'm applying that, examine himself. Come now, let us reason together. Let us take inventory in this built-in revival for His church. What God may want to do. I read several years ago, a guy was talking about healing, physical healing that came after communion. I read on to see what had happened in his life. And he gave the testimony of things got right between he and God because God was wanting to bless him with physical healing in his life. But his relationship with God was divided because he was pushing the Lord away. He was not coming in humility and saying, Lord, look at my life. Where am I away from you? Restore me, Lord, to the joy of my salvation. And what happened? When he comes and experiences that communion, he experiences the forgiveness of his sins. He experiences that restoration of relationship with the Lord. Then what happens? Then the avenue is open for God to bring blessing. Why clog up God's avenue in your life? But see, it's bigger than that. Brother Rick spoke about this morning. It's not just what you can get. What do you come and give in communion? And what is he calling on you in the communion to give? He is calling on you to give confession. Here is my sin, but here is my Lord. And we remember that. You see, you don't need a Savior if you don't have sin. You must have a Savior. Let's bow our heads. We'll come to the table in just a moment, but I want to encourage you. The altar is going to be open right now if you want to come and spend some time alone with the Lord. Let Him take inventory of your life. Where does He want to restore? What is He calling on you to do and to be? If you've never received Jesus in your life, today can be the day where you can begin to walk with Him. We'd sure like to know about it. Our pastors are going to be up here today to pray with you if you'd like to come. But so many of you right now, so many of us, not you, us, need to be on our faces before God, saying, Holy Spirit, come and examine my life. Take inventory. Where do I need revival? Where do I need renewal? Where do I need reconciliation? Where do I need restoration? Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. And Lord, as we come to the table today, we do examine ourselves before you. Lord, as we open the altar now, come, Lord, and speak to us. In Yeshua's name we pray. The altar's open. Before we come to the table, I just felt a need for us to pray a prayer of confession. together. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, today, first of all, we praise your name and I thank you for what you did in our behalf on the cross and through the resurrection. This day, we confess, we come in agreement that we have not been an obedient people in every aspect of our lives. Lord, as you have revealed our sin today, we come in agreement with you and we call it sin. And we ask God today for your forgiveness. We agree with you. And Lord, we ask you to come and restore us as we come to the table. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. Gentlemen, if you'll come and join me. On the night in which he was betrayed, Scripture says that he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." A picture. One hope, one body, one people, one Lord who came in our behalf. And today, as we say blessing over the cup, we thank him for his poured out blood. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we thank the Lord today for that forgiveness of sin through his blood given in our behalf as he became our substitute on the cross. Thank you, Lord.
Precious drop will wash my sins away.
Anybody lighter right now? Huh? Let's see. Well, be careful. You might bump your head on the door jamb as you go out today. Might need to hold hands with somebody so you don't fly away when you get out there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is here, he is not silent, and he is not going to be silent as he speaks through you. We're about to send you out in the name of Jesus, in his power. Has God answered a prayer for anybody today? Anybody? Gwen, your hand ought to be up. The Mannings' hands ought to be up right now. Anybody else have an answer prayer this week? Okay. All right. Let's go in faith. We're gonna sing out. What are we going to sing, Gary? Something we can...
Actually, you said it for me.
Okay.